Well, as I said at the beginning, there are one of the things that happens in our lives is that we hear this thing, and then lots of people talk about is that, you know, our lives have been changed. And we claim that God changed our lives at salvation. And it sort of leaves a false impression that really all you really needed was just a little overhaul, you know? Change this part of your life and things are going to be good. Change this part and things are going to be fixed up. And it's sort of like taking your car to the mechanic, and if you can just change the spark plugs, all of a sudden the whole system's going to run well. And so we sort of think about sometimes salvation in that way. We've been changed. Well, which part of you's been changed? What has been changed? Have you stopped swearing a little bit? You know, I mean, yeah, let's change that. You know, tone that down a bit and fix it up. Oh, now I'm better. So, you know, it's sometimes we think it's just sort of cleaning up our lives. We fix what's been wrong. We've straightened out the things that need to be straightened out. Now, if you were to sit down and somebody was to put a piece of paper in front of you and say, what things still need to be changed? I bet we could all, you know, jot a few things down anyways. I know for some of you, you'd have quite a long list. Including myself, so there. I mean, we sort of think in those terms, don't we? And you know, ultimately, we're actually flattering ourselves if we think that that's the case. If we think it's just a case that we need to change a few little things. We aren't just sin-sick people who need a religious medicine. And we need more than that. As Scripture says, and as we read in Ephesians 2:1, you know, there's more to our issue than, there's more to what we need than just simply being changed. Ephesians 2:1 told us, and let me get to it. We were dead. Our problem is we're not sin-sick people who needed religious medicine, but we were dead. We were dead in our sins. Well, you can take a dead body and you can wash it and bathe it. You can dress it up. You can put cosmetics on it. You can prop it up. But what is it? It's still dead, right? And this is the picture that we're getting here in Scripture. You can do all sorts of things, but it's still dead. You could change the way you comb your hair, but you're still dead. You can change the way whether you're going to put a straight smile on or a crooked smile. You're still dead. And somehow we need to understand that. Very often people will interpret the fact that people have been changed, and they say, well, yeah, we've been changed, but what is it the one thing? What is the one thing that a dead person needs?
Life.
They need resurrection. They need resurrection. And so if you think, and if people think the whole issue of the Christian faith is just to change a few dials so that, you know, you become sort of acceptable. So change a few dials so that you're less obvious about the kind of person you are deep inside. That's not enough. You need resurrection. You need new life. We used to think, or people would think, that others were sinful in their actions and unbelievers were always the worst, you know. Until they got religion, and then they got onto the straight and narrow. And you remember hearing people say that? They got religion, and now, you know, their life has been straightened out. And to some degree, some of that was true. But religion was simply about changing your behavior. Religion was simply sort of cleaning up a bit so your behavior looked good. But the whole issue of faith is more than that. Religion is about changing your behavior, but God's grace is something that's altogether different. Certainly some people's behavior changes when they come to faith, but there's something more to it than that. Look at that, I'm getting ahead of myself, aren't I? God changed your life, and often it's interpreted, as we said, as behavioral change. And we were sin in action and thought, and we're on the straight and narrow, get religion. But what is it that's really important? The thing is that when we trust in the Lord, and even Isaiah said this, when we trust in the Lord, it really changes our life, because we trust in the Lord and we find new strength. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China, and he wrestled with this whole issue. And he wrestled with the issue as he was trying to translate the Bible into Chinese for those folks. And so he came to this idea. So how do you translate this whole idea about being changed? And he came, what he described, what really happened was the exchanged life. Not the changed life. Change simply means that you're making something better out of something that already was. And he said, no. What you need is an exchanged life. You can't just take the old stuff and put an old coat of paint on it so it looks good. Because what happens after a while? It starts to crack through. Our kids have a deck in their house in Summerland. And last summer, we decided that we'd spiff it up a bit, and we scraped her down and all this stuff, and you know, we put a new coat of paint on it. And you know what it's doing this year? The old paint is coming up, just like the other old paint was coming up. Or the new paint is coming up, and the old paint is showing. That's what happens in our lives if we think we just sort of change our life a little bit through our own efforts and stuff. And that's what Hudson Taylor said. You know, he said, the Lord Jesus received his holiness begun. The Lord Jesus cherished his holiness advancing. The Lord Jesus counted upon as never absent would be holiness complete. He goes on to say that looking to Jesus is more than just a small change in your life, because eventually you'll fall back to where you were. You'll end up doing the same thing over and over. And in exclamation marks, Hudson Taylor wrote on the page in his book, The Spiritual Secrets of the Exchanged Life. He said, God made me a new man. God made me a new man. He said, Do you know I now think that the striving, longing, hoping for better days to come is not the true way to holiness, happiness, and usefulness? It's better, no doubt, far better than being satisfied with poor attainments, but not the best of all. I have been struck with the passage from this book entitled, Christ is All. And so Hudson Taylor, when he started to translate this whole idea, he started to translate it so that it meant that there was a totally new man. We give that lip service, we talk about it, we give it lip service, but then we fall back and we think, oh, I need to change this part. Well, that's not really the case. If you're a new person, you just need to walk away from that. Last week we talked about that, how we need to be people who walk in newness of life, and we're different people, we're changed people, we're new people. We need to understand that. And so how does this all take place? How did that take place in our lives? Does it come just because we've made the great decision? Pat ourselves on the back, I've decided that I'm going to live a new good life for God. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Well, we have those occasions probably when we think about that. But the fact is that we read in the scripture that God demonstrated grace towards us on the cross. Our Father has taken the person that we were. Now we need to get our head around this. He has taken the person that we were, and he has put that person to death. That person is gone. And in that person's place, he has given us a brand new life. So which part of the old, crudgy, curmudgeon, nasty old self do you want to drag along and make it a part of the new life that Christ has made in you? Because that's what we do. If the Bible says that we are new people in Christ, we are new, the old has gone, the new has come, why do we drag that old stuff along with us? It's like dragging an old cart behind us and saying, yeah, well, you never know. I mean, I'm a bit of a pack rat in some ways, because I sort of grew up and my dad was a carpenter, and you know, he never knew when he might need an old 2x4 to do something with it. And so I've got this bad habit of sort of hanging on to stuff like that. You know, I mean, I've got a little stack of old 2x4s that I keep moving around out of Pam's way in the garden. And you know, my little pack of stuff has to get smaller and smaller, but I keep dragging it along because you never know when you might need it, right? Anybody else with me? Oh, there's a couple of you. Well, you know, unfortunately, I do that. I'm learning as I get older, and I'm finding, man, I'm not going to be able to do anything with that stuff in my lifetime. But we do that with other things in our life. You know, we do that with other things in our life. Our lives have been made new in Christ. And God has given us the new graces that He gives to us, people that can live with grace and humility and kindness, and we can be a blessing to others, and we can be helpful to others, and we can use gifts of service for others. But you know what? You know, we've got this little trailer behind us, because you never know when we're going to have to be greedy. So let's keep a little bit of that in the trailer so that, you know, when the time comes, I can drag it out because I've still got it. Or maybe self-centered. I keep a little bit of self-centeredness back in the old trailer so that, well, you never know when you might need it. You know, you might run into somebody who really wants to take advantage of you. And if you just start giving to them all the time, like God says that we can just let our life, you know, we can be free with our lives and give. Well, no, you know, I just might need a little self-centeredness, and I'm going to hang on to that puppy back there because I never know when I'm going to need it. Or you name it. I mean, we've all got those little things that we hang on to in the back of our trailer, and we. You know, Jesus has given us a brand new life. That's what Scripture tells us. And we're able to enjoy His life. Just think about how poorly we enjoy the new life that He's given to us when we keep dragging out that old stuff. You know, you would have thought I would have learned. You know, we've had renovations done in our house, and you know how much nicer it is when somebody like the GTR comes in and uses new wood to build things. I mean, it looks a whole lot better than a dirty old 2x4 that I've got sitting out in the rain, getting sunburned and twisted and all that stuff. I mean, that's why God gives us a new life, so that we can use the new tools and bless others with them. At the cross, Jesus absorbed into Himself, He took upon Himself our sins and everything that was in our life, even our old identities. Our old identities. We don't have to hold on to all that stuff. And by believing and acting out the truth of what He has accomplished, we're able to live from His divine resources, not from our stuff, not from the trailer living behind us or dragging behind us. Paul wrote, "We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin." Do you ever find yourself still a slave to sin? Still a slave to the stuff that goes on or went on in your life? Or have you forgotten that we were joined with Christ, Jesus, in baptism. We joined Him in His death. And that's the whole picture of baptism that we do. We baptize somebody. They've died to the old self. They've died to the old life. They've died to these things. They've unhooked the trailer, as it were, carrying all that junk. And it's gone. And God has given us a new life in Christ. We joined Him in that death. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share all his glory. He wants us to live in a new way. So we have to ask ourselves, is that the way that I'm living? Do I actually choose to live that way today? Or do I find myself being dragged back into all of those old things? I hope you don't. There's an important difference between being changed, just being changed, changed for a new life, and being exchanged, like having a totally new life. But now, once for all, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. And that's what Jesus has done for us. And the amazing thing is that our sins, as Scripture so rightly describes and wonderfully describes, he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Your sins just aren't forgiven. They're gone. So which of those things do you want to hang on to? Which one of those traits do you want to keep so that you can drag it out sometime? They're no good. All they do is spoil your life. It's like C.S. Lewis talked in his book, I think it was The Great Marriage, The Great Divorce. Anyways, one of those books, you remember he talked about the guy who had his new life and he had a new suit and everything was beautiful, except he had this little chameleon or little lizard that he used to keep on his shoulder. And that sort of represented his old life and the things that were going on. And you know what animals tend to do that sit on your shoulder? You know, they leave nasty deposits all the way down the front of your shirt. And here this guy was wandering around saying, I've got this new life. I've got this new life. And his old lizard was there messing up his suit. You know, there's a lot of Christians who live that way. They walk around saying, I got a new life. I got a new life. But all of their old habits and all the old things and the stuff that they, the parts of their old life which they just will not release and let go, because they, just in case I might need this, they keep that on their shoulder, and the thing just keeps making a mess of their life and a mess of what they look like and a mess of their testimony and all of those things. And you sort of think, oh, come on. You know, give your head a shake. You recognize what a mess that is. But Jesus says that he removes our transgressions for, you know, all they're gone. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's what it's about. We're being made right with God through Christ. We don't have to drag on that old stuff. We don't have to hang on to that stuff. We don't have to get stuck in that stuff. But you know what? There's a lot of people that still do that. There's a lot of people that walk around and say, oh yes, I'm a believer and I live as a Christian and all this good stuff. And presently, statistics tell us that 85% of men still involve themselves in pornography and the internet. 85%. 60% of women do the same thing. And I'm thinking, 85% of men, 60% of women. Boy, there's got to be a whack of those people who say they claim to have Christ as their Savior. And they are still, you know, they've still got this thing on their shoulder making a mess of their life. And we need to be serious about this stuff. We need to be serious because it's making your life look dirty. And it is. Whether it's that kind of thing or whatever it is. And we need to be serious about it. And we need to be serious with each other and hold each other accountable on those things. The importance of making the distinguish between just being changed a little bit in your life, adding new parts to your life, or totally being exchanged. There's more, Scripture says more about what your life can be rather than just the new improved you, but the new you. And that's what he wants. That's what he wants for us. You've been raised to walk in the newness of life, as Paul says in Romans 6:4, because Christ is the very source of your life now. Jesus didn't come to straighten up the mess in our lives. He came to undo the damage and make us new. We read in Hebrews 9:26, I guess I don't have it up there, that Adam put us, that he says he came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. The message of the cross, it's not just the cross. It's not just dealing with the sin. Because on the cross are just a bunch of dead people, right? And our Christian life is more than that. It's a resurrection life. It's a new life. It's a life in which God gives you new life. So that's where we need to live. That's how we need to live. And as the scripture says, we were buried with Christ. We were dead. But now, we've been raised. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive. God gave you resurrection. He forgave all your sins. He gave you more than just simply saying that it's, you know, he's going to fix us. He gave us new life. And so as we come around this table today, we don't come around this table because our lives have been changed. We don't come around this table because we've had a good idea about some things that we ought to put out of our lives and sort of create and fix a new and create a new improved environment for us to live. Or even a new improved environment in which we try to treat our kids better or be better examples for them. But we live new lives. We live new lives. We don't carry along those things, the greed, the selfishness, the pornography, the you name it, whatever the stuff is that you sort of hang on to in your life and you drag it out every once in a while behind a closed door so no one knows and no one sees. You know, you leave that behind and you say, I've got a new life. God has given me a new life. And that's why Hudson Taylor said, God has made me new. God has made me new. That's why we come around this table today. Because God has made us new. He has made us new. And he has said, come. Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant established in my blood for you by the shedding of my blood. And he wants us to drink that and reestablish that covenant. He says to us, this is my body which is broken for you. Come and eat. And so I want to invite those that are sharing, are going to be distributing our communion elements to us today to come and join with us. And we're going to do that right now.